When you're struggling to feel really happy, are you like me? Do you make super healthy choices like turn on the Xbox, crack open the pantry, lay on the couch all day and do nothing? Is that where you find your happiness?
Yes. Can we just end the episode right here?
I think that's it.
Seriously, though, do you ever find yourself making perhaps not the greatest choices when you're feeling not happy?
Those things are great for putting a Band-Aid on whatever pain you're running from. But to find real happiness, that thing that we're always chasing, it's already inside you. And today we're going to talk about how you can find it.
But first, this is the Fit Mess, where together we learn to develop habits that help us live beyond our mental health struggles to create happier, healthier lives.
He's Zach. He lives in the future with his anxiety.
He's Jeremy, and he lives in the past with his depression. And we get together once a week in the present to share the obstacles we face and how we overcome them.
So, Jeremy, do you know why I love the name of our show?
Why is that?
Because it's kind of a play on words, right? Like the fit mess, right? We're trying to be fit. Everything's messy. It's not fitness.
Right, all that. Right.
So I really love a good play on words.
Sure.
And our guest today has a really nice play on words that includes a swear word. And I super appreciate play on words that may be swearing. And our guest today is Andrea Villelli from Shift Happens. And I cannot wait to talk to her.
One of the things you're going to hear in the interview with Andrea is a word that I don't think either you or I had heard prior to this interview, Zach, and it was decreating when it comes to the stories you tell yourself, the things you believe about yourself, doing the work to decreate those things so that you can start to have a better relationship with yourself, whether it's that traumatized inner child or the person within you that you still struggle with every day. Working to decreate those stories is such a powerful way to look at the way that those things have an impact on your life.
Yeah, it's super powerful. I've never heard that word tied to that work, but man, like it resonated with me because most of what I've done throughout my life is to decreate all these stories that my dad told me, my mom told me, all these people told me that I believed as truth, and none of it was it was all a lie. So I loved that word, and I loved how, you know, she kind of tied it together with so many other things.
And one of those things, quickly before we get to the interview, is the idea that we so often, I'm one of the kings of this, looking for some sort of external thing to find happiness. A lot of times it'll be finding something in the pantry that makes me feel a little bit better. Sometimes it's turning on the Xbox to play a video game to try and find a little happiness there. All these things that you know, pacify the pain for the moment, but the minute they're over, all that pain is still right there because you didn't take the time to acknowledge it, process it, let it go through so that you can actually find that happiness that already lives within you. You just have to find a way to tap into it.
It's just that easy, right?
Just that easy. So I actually met Andrea a few weeks ago and we were having a conversation around that very thing, what it means to find that inner happiness, to find that inner well-being that is drowned out by all the crappy stories you tell yourself and all the external things you're turning to for happiness. So again, our guest is Andrea Villelli from Shift Happens. And we started by talking about that. How do we stop looking outward for happiness and find it inside by decreating all of those old stories?
We're trained innocently to believe that our happiness and peace of mind is outside of us. We're trained to believe it's in things. So it's the I'll be happy when syndrome, you know, when I get that, when this happens. And what we're doing when we are in that belief system is we're literally chasing our tail. The world is our mirror. So if something on the outside is not the way that we want to see it, it's not about fixing the outside. That would be like trying to, you know, you're watching a movie and going up to the screen and thinking, I don't like this scene. How am I going to change it? No, the movie's coming from the projector. So it's an inside job. Our well-being, our peace of mind comes from within. So it's a matter of flip-flopping this idea that we have about how the world looks and how we want it to be different and looking within, going within for our peace of mind. Because at our core, we are all of us, absolutely perfect. But we have been trained and conditioned to believe otherwise. That's really the essence of it. But when you begin to see that your natural well-being is already within, you learned how to calm the mind, you learn when to listen to your inner genius, when it's your inner genius, and when it's outside influence like conditioning and our ego going to town and all this other stuff. When you get very connected to that truth, life just as a result gets easier. So whatever it is that you want to accomplish, it's not that we don't have goals. Of course we have goals, but you accomplish those things from a peaceful state, from a strong foundation, rather than just trying to accomplish things where literally it's like, you know, you're living on a foundation of quicksand, which never works. So it's about getting that foundation strong, which is our in here. And then whatever it is that we want to accomplish, we're accomplishing it from a solid space.
As, you know, somebody who years ago came to that conclusion that I was focused on the outside and I had to turn my eyeballs around and look on the inside and that's where the value was. That was painful. That was hard.
Yeah.
And I am fully on board. I completely agree with you 100%. How does one do that? Like, how does, like, what is there a moment? Like, how do you have to get to a low point? Like, and how do you start to make that shift? Can it happen quickly? Is it like take a long time?
Yeah. Well, I hope you don't have to get to a long point because that would, or to a low point because that would really suck. Right. I think people are getting curious now because it looks to me like we're realizing that our peace doesn't come from the outside. I feel like people are waking up to it. But the way to do it is to begin to quiet your mind. It's just to begin to slow down. Now, when you slow down, it doesn't mean that you're not productive. It just means that you actually take the time. It's like the train is going so quickly in one direction. It needs to go in the other direction. You've got to slow down the train and bring it to a stop in order to jump the tracks and go in the opposite direction. So the way to begin, believe it or not, it's the simplest thing. It's beginning to pay attention to the breath. Like that's your recipe for starting to get in touch with peace and well-being. Like that's it. Because the breath, it's our natural ability to rest and relax. Like we are normally running around, hopefully not normally, but a lot of us, in fight or flight. So our system is going absolutely crazy. And we have this natural inbuilt system where we can calm ourselves down naturally. We don't have to take a pill for it. You know, we don't even have to leave the house. We can just begin to nose breathe, just breathing in and breathing out and allowing that inhale to be nice and long and allowing the exhale to be even longer. And that will naturally calm us down. And just by beginning to create some of that peace in your life, then you can begin to actually do the work where you start to reflect on, well, what's really important to me? You know, what do I really want? What am I passionate about? You know, I think that gets lost so easily is we're not trained to do what we're passionate about. We're a lot of times trained to think, well, I need to get this degree. I need to do that. I need to make this. And then when I retire, I'll do what I'm passionate about. And it's really the other way around, because if you follow your passion and you get in touch with your inner genius, you get in touch with your heart, what you love to do will create everything that you need in life.
So I'm curious about your struggle with this, because I've heard advice. I've given this advice of, you know, slow down, take time. Don't let the world, you know, lead you around with a leash like a dog. Yeah. How I imagine, like most of us, it's not perfect for you. So where are you at in this? Are you at a place now where you're like, where you can see it in a moment and stop it and get it under control? Or do you still lose it and like, oh, like the world, do you still fight with it too? Or do you have it completely under control and life is perfect?
Well, no, life is not perfect. But the difference is I'm wise to myself. That's the difference, is that when I'm feeling frustrated, disappointed, sad, annoyed, whatever it is, and my ego absolutely hates this, but my ego knows that it's not outside of me. And that's the hardest part, because my ego wants to blame. You know, my ego wants to say, I'm sad because I'm angry because I'm pissed off because whatever. You know, blame, 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 blame. My ego wants to go to town with that. And the difference now in my life is, even though I still have those feelings, I still am 100% human with the ups and downs. I know, as much as I want to blame the outside when I'm in a low state of mind, I know it's me. I know that I am just, you know, not in alignment with my truth in the moment. My bandwidth is restricted. I'm in a really low state of mind. I can't see my way out of a paper bag. And that is the problem. The problem isn't the world or the circumstance, because the circumstance is always changeable, fixable, whatever you want to say, when I'm in a better state of mind.
I struggle with that a lot with people in my life where like it's accountability, right? It's when something bad happens, whether it is, you know, a personal internal thing or something outside, you really do want to blame someone else. And that, I mean, unfortunately, that's something that a lot of people do. And it's an accountability thing. And that's such a hard shift to make, to go, my bad, that was me, and take that ownership and push forward with it. Like, how do you have any tips for, I guess, beating through that? Because like you said, your ego doesn't like it.
No.
And nobody likes admitting that they were a problem. So how do you kind of take those first steps there?
Well, here's the thing. It's not that we allow people to walk over us. It's that we realize, oh, they're not responsible for my happiness and peace of mind. That is my responsibility. If I expect somebody else to fill that void for me, okay, if that's a void and I expect something outside of me to fill that, that's my bad. But if somebody on the outside, if I don't like what's going on, it doesn't mean that I don't change it. It doesn't mean that I don't take precautions to change the situation or step away from it. But what it means is I'm not at the mercy of it. I'm not suffering because of it. I know that I'm feeling these feelings. It's not because of the other person or the situation. It's because I've got some insecure thinking going on that I've made up about the world not being perfect the way it is. And I don't have to suffer because of it, but I may still make those changes, you know. And I find that, you know, it's about evolving. It's about our spiritual evolution. And as our frequency changes, you know, as our awareness, as we become more aware, as we wake up, there will be situations in our life that at one point were fine for us that are no longer fine for us. There will be people in our life that at one point were fine for us that are no longer fine for us. But what happens is that it's not a problem because you feel that evolution within yourself and you're okay. Every shift is coming from love. Every shift is coming from love. Even if it doesn't feel good, we know that it's coming from love. So that's the game changer. And again, it's not that there's not discomfort. It's not that we don't get sad or that I don't get sad. You know, it's not that I don't go through all of these feelings, but I know the feelings are not because of someone outside of me. The feelings are because, you know, there's a part of me that believes that my happiness is based on that situation. And I know that's not true. So that's the game that I have to play in my mind. You know what I mean? Knowing, oh, wait a second. This is an illusion that I'm buying into. I'm buying into this illusion. I'm giving it meaning. So I'm deciding whether I suffer or not. And then whatever makes sense, whatever shift makes sense, you know, if it's a job, a friend, a relationship, whatever it is, if I will make that shift, not from a place of anger or judgment, but from a place of love. So that's really the difference.
You mentioned the discomfort and the pain that comes with those moments. A lot of people cope with that in really unhealthy ways. You've mentioned the breath, like when you're sort of caught in the storm, to sort of center yourself there. A lot of people, and me in the past included, would often run to the fridge and find a beer to pour on that fire and try and put it out. What are some healthier ways? How do we learn to sit with that discomfort and allow it to process naturally rather than letting it take up space in our body and lead to the damaging effects that we know that negative stress does have on our bodies?
Yeah. Well, first of all, it's okay to feel all those things. It's a matter of not owning them, just allowing those feelings to move through you. So, you know, for me, it's acknowledging the feelings, allowing them to move past me or to move through me without attaching to the story. And this takes practice, because when we're feeling upset, we've got a because going on. I'm upset because. So to detach from the because, which the ego doesn't want you to do, but to detach from that because and just allow yourself to actually feel the beauty of those feelings, feel the energy behind those feelings, and allow them to pass without attaching to the story. That's where the magic happens. That's where you transmute the energy, rather than either keeping it inside and pretending it's not there, or, you know, whether it's alcohol, food, relationship, sex, drugs, whatever it is, it's actually transmuting it so that it doesn't sit in the body. We're not pretending that it's not there. We're allowing the energy to move through us. So, you know, that's the magic of appreciating these ups and downs that we have as human beings, the feelings that we have, because guess what? If we never feel the lows, how can we appreciate the highs? We can't. But
if I'm in the lows, though, and I'm listening to this, trying to feel better about myself, and I'm hearing, all I need to do is appreciate how crappy I feel right now. I can hear the listener right now going like, how the hell am I supposed to do that?
They're
how do you see
names.
It that way, right?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. At the moment, it's not easy to appreciate it, but it's about allowing it to, it's, you don't want to pretend it's not there. Mm-hmm. But then you don't, but here's where like Gestalt therapy goes wrong, in my opinion, is that Gestalt therapy is, well, I'm just going to beat it out, you know, into a pillow or something. But you're beating it out and giving it energy. You're beating out the thing that you're making up is causing your distress. So when you allow that to move through you without the story behind it, that's the clincher. It's like without the story, just the feelings. I'm not saying this is easy. This takes practice. Mm-hmm. That's how we transmute it. When we beat it out of ourselves with the anger towards something, we're giving it energy. We are actually creating more of it. We're innocently creating more of it. So it is allowing it to move through you. But the other thing that I want to say is like, listen, if you're feeling that distress, I mean, to me, the best thing that you can do if you're not able to just allow it to move through you in the moment is literally move. You know, go to the gym, go outside for a walk, do some jumping jacks. I mean, that just gets your endorphins flowing. I mean, I know for myself, if I'm in a low mood and I, you know, go to a yoga class or I go to the gym or, you know, just hop on a bike, which I don't do very often, but the gym and the yoga class I do very often, right? That just lifts my mood right away. And the beautiful thing is once your mood is lifted, then you're in a better state of mind. So you see that what you were upset about has no value. You know, you just see it. It's like you're seeing it from a different vantage point. You're seeing it from, I call it above the maze. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're above the maze, you can very clearly see how to get out. When you're in the maze, good luck.
I got to share one thing because like everything that you're describing, Jeremy knows exactly where I'm going with this because 2.5 years ago, my wife and I got divorced. We came to the decision. It was the right decision. And I had this day where we decided, and we're like, we're going to do this.
Yeah.
And I just sat with it. It was painful. There was a lot of emotions. It was sorry, like all of these things. And I sat with it for 3 days. Like, just, it was like, I'm going to feel these things. I'm going to feel them. Meditate. I'm going to breathe. I'm just feel them. I didn't blame anyone. On the third day, like the fog kind of lifted. And I was just like, hey, I'm okay. I'm all right. You just described like that experience that I went through. So I really wanted to share that with you that like, hey, here's an experience of this. But I wanted to tell people who are listening that like, hey, it doesn't sound easy and it is painful, but I've done it. Like it actually works. And Jeremy picks on me because he's like, oh, you grieved for 3 days over your 20-year marriage and you're good. Like, no, I did it differently. And it allowed me to get through it a little bit easier.
Yeah. Wow. That's beautiful. And that's, I mean, I'm going to say really very fast for you to have gone through that, you know, after a 20-year marriage. I mean, that's huge because usually there's a lot of contemplating on something like that because it's big. It looks big to us as human. It looks big to us. And it is. It feels. We feel that. We feel that. So that's really, really brilliant. I mean, you were able to recover from that very quickly, in my opinion.
I mean, there were still lingering emotions afterwards, of course, but it was, you know, the bulk of it was 3 days. Jeremy still shakes his head up. He's like, 3 days, dude.
Well, and I don't want to take the Superman cape off of Zach for this or anything, but I don't want the listener to think, hey, if you're going through something, it should only take you 3 days to get through this. That 3 days followed years of work that Zach has been doing. So he had the tools to sort of go into that cave and fight those feelings and come out the other side.
Well, it's a learning curve. It is a learning curve. I mean, you went through a marriage. There was a ton to learn in it. And, you know, if we don't learn it once, you know, it's going to come back and bite us. Like, there's so much to learn from that. So I think, like, those are the nuggets, you know, or to realize, okay, who am I now? How did I grow? What did I learn? And what can I do differently or not?
One of the things that comes to mind with this is, as I imagine Zach in that space or anybody sort of trying to cope with those feelings and the amount of negative self-talk that must pop up. Like, I screwed this up. What did I do wrong? This is something I lived with my entire life until about a year ago. Some work I did finally like destroyed that voice. I literally remember the last time I had a full negative thought and went, wait, that's not true. And So I don't deal with that anymore because of the work that I've done. For someone who's still struggling with, I'm an idiot, I can't believe I screwed this up, what's wrong with me? How do they get themselves through that awful cycle?
Well, here's what I want to share, which, to your point, right? Just, it was like a couple of weeks ago, I found myself so upset over a situation, like so upset. And I came home and I was like, oh my goodness, I am so crazily upset about this situation. I couldn't get over how affected I was by it. So I was in that state of like, I should know better. You know what I mean? I do this for a living, you know, I should know better. But it was so interesting because what I came to terms with was I realized that, oh my God, I felt like I was back in elementary school. And I realized I had this stuff from elementary school that, as we say, got triggered. And I realized that's where the pain came from. It was so amazing because I said to my husband, I'm like, oh my God, I don't think I've thought about this in like 30 years. Like, where did this even come from? But it hit me over the head and it hit me hard. So I really had to sit with it. First of all, I had to acknowledge and see what it was. And then I had to sit with it. And to be honest with you, do you know what I did that like really, really helped me? Was I did this havening technique, which I can't even really explain. Just go Google it. Like go on YouTube and look up the havening technique. I literally did this, which my husband sent it to me. He was like, here, this will make you feel better. And I have to tell you, it honestly did. It honestly did. But I had to see what it was. And it actually took me a little bit of time because I couldn't. I'm like, how am I so triggered by this? This is crazy. But I think the whole deal is don't beat yourself up because we are human. We're having this human experience and things are going to come up and there's no perfection. It's a journey. It's a constant journey. It's a constant learning and growing. And the bottom line is we want to clean all this up. So if something comes up, that's fantastic. You know, we want a clean vessel. And the only way we're going to get a clean vessel is if we acknowledge what's still around. So there's nothing wrong with that. It's the whole thing is like, please, please, please don't beat yourself up. Like, just be so okay with wherever you are.
Couple quick things on that. One, I took your advice. I Googled it real quick. And yes. a quick explanation on Google is it's an alternative therapy using touch, eye movements, and other sensory inputs to reduce stress, anxiety, and discomfort.
Yes.
Obviously a huge rabbit hole to dive down to explore that more. But I know exactly what you mean in terms of that childhood trauma, right? Little T trauma, whatever. I've told this story before, but there was a situation where at a family meal, my parent was talking about just lowering the bar on this horrible, like everybody was going to just hate this experience. Of course, everyone absolutely loved it. But as I heard this conversation happening, just sort of talking to themselves, I realized, oh my God, that's where that voice comes from. That's what I do to me. Yeah. And I realized like as a child, I witnessed adults doing this and owned that what they were saying about themselves, because we are one, must be true about me as well.
Yes.
And once I started to realize that voice isn't even mine,
right?
Then I was able to say, do I even agree with anything that I'm saying here? And when the answer is no, it's amazing the power that has to just dissolve those thoughts and those feelings of like, who has even been saying that to me all this time? Because it's not me.
You learned it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You learned it. Yeah. It's like this stuff comes up in our life. And when we have those aha moments of where this stuff comes from, I mean, to me, that's just allowing yourself to clean and clear it, you know, and like you said, you realize it wasn't even yours. That was learned behavior. And that's all the muck and the stuff that gets caught up in our minds that we buy into and we think it's our identity. And it's not who we are.
One of the greatest strengths anyone can have is the ability to admit that you're wrong about something that you believe. And again, it doesn't feel good to be wrong, but sometimes it's the best way to kind of move beyond some of these beliefs that you do have about yourself.
And it's so okay to be wrong. It's like, that's the beauty, is to be able to look at yourself and be like, oh my God, I can't believe I said that or I did that. And it's like, oh wow, that was me. That's cool. I mean, it's actually good news when it's you, because then you can shift in and change it, you know?
I was cleaning out some files and things like that, and I read like a paper I wrote for my master's degree like 10 years ago, and I read it and cringed. And I was like, oh, I would never write that now. But I remember thinking in that moment where I was like, oh, I can change. I can be wrong. My opinion can change and I can build and grow over time. So it was a really good reminder.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so cool. Like to see, like anything that's going on that I don't like, I get to see that it's me that I created it, that like I'm giving off that energy, like something in my frequency and my energetic field is a match to that. So it's nobody else's fault. I created it. Like that's been the biggest learning for me. It's like, oh, that's me. Guess what? That's me.
So if I'm out there writing that master's degree paper 10 years ago right now, what advice do you have for me as I'm, you know, searching for that inner peace, trying to stop blaming the outside world, all the things that we've now talked about for the last 25 minutes or so? Where do I start to try to unravel this mess that I've put myself into?
You know, I think it's taking full responsibility for your experience. It's beginning to notice that the world is your mirror. So if something is occurring that you don't like, it's a reflection. So it's taking responsibility for it. Like even if it's something awful and horrible, you're a match for it somehow. So it's usually going back in and jacking up your self-worth. It's like remembering, I'm okay as I am. I mean, I think all of the things that cause us discomfort are the negative stories that we tell ourselves about ourselves. And sometimes we don't even realize that we've got the storyline of like, I'm not worthy, or, you know, I'm not good enough, or I'll never be. So it's recognizing that you've got a storyline going of, well, that could never be good in my life because it's all self-reflection. And here's the thing I want to say is that it's so innocent because we don't realize that we are doing this to ourselves. We don't realize it. And again, somebody listening might be like, well, I didn't beat myself up. You know, I didn't cheat on myself, those kinds of things. But there's a belief going on that I always meet somebody who cheats, or I'm not good enough, so people take advantage of me. There's some belief underneath that that's going on. So it's not about being negative to yourself about it. It's about realizing the perfection of you. Shifting that story. It's realizing the perfection of you. It's not accepting people that aren't good to you in your life. Okay. It's not accepting situations that are under par for what you want, for what you want for yourself. I think so often we accept situations that are not good enough for ourselves because we've got a story. Well, at least I have that. I mean, how many times do we stay in a job? Well, at least I have the job. Or we stay in a relationship. Well, at least somebody loves me. No. No, 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 no. You know, when we go back to self and realize we are perfectly perfect, no matter what the outside of us looks like, no matter what we've been through, it's not our identity. We are here now. We can always start again. That's like the big thing. We can always start again. And it comes back to seeing the perfection of who we are in every moment and living from that space. So we want to like de-story, de-create, and delete all of the stories about our insecurities, because we've just been giving them life and they're not true.
Wow. I love decreate. I have not heard that before. And that just struck a chord with me. I love that word.
That my husband says, we're going to 3D this. And he says, we're going to de-story, delete, and decreate. And because there is no time, space, and matter. Okay, now I'm getting a little weird. But because everything's linear, right? We can actually do that when we command it, right? Mm-hmm. Because we're the ones that are hanging on to our past. It's not here. We're the ones that are keeping it alive. So we can delete it. We can destroy it. We can decreate it. We don't have to keep any of that alive. Yeah. We can always begin again, because the only thing that's really true is this moment.
All good advice. Where can we learn more about you and the work that you do?
My website is shifthappens.global. And all of our social media is there. Instagram is Shift Happens Global. Facebook, I know I'm old school. I'm still on Facebook and TikTok. And LinkedIn, you can find me, Andrea Valelli, on LinkedIn. We also have a YouTube, Andrea and Lee Valelli. But basically, if you just go to our website, shifthappens.global, all the information is there. We've got lots of fun free downloads, morning and evening routine journals. And if you're a parent, 33 ways to start conversations with your kids instead of just saying, how was your day?
I like that.
Lots of fun things.
Our thanks to Andrea Valelli from Shift Happens. You can find out more about her in the show notes for this episode at thefitmess.com. I say it all the time, and some people give me shit about it, and it's fair. I don't really care if people do give me shit about it, but like, I'm a sensitive guy. I feel my feelings, and I process them. Yeah. I don't anymore, anyway. I don't put them in a box, and I don't put them up on a shelf to never look at again. And I just so really appreciate that you know, that the one story I told about my divorce, and how I handle everything anymore. I just sit and I feel them. Like, those emotions are there to be felt, just like happiness, joy are there. Sadness, you got to feel it. You got to get through it. You got to process it in order to get to the other side of it. So I absolutely love hearing that message coming from somebody else who is way more of an expert in this stuff than I am.
The missing piece, I think, for so many people in doing that is just taking the time. We're all in such a goddamn rush to get to the next thing, to get to not doing something. And just carving out the time to feel the feelings and process stuff, it's tough, man, especially if you're a parent, if you're working. Life's throwing stuff at you all the time, and you have to find it within yourself to make that time for yourself. It's such a cliche thing, right? Like self-care, right? Like, oh, it's doing some yoga, going to a spa, all the things. No, it's just taking a few minutes to feel whatever's going on inside of you and stop running from it. Stop putting it in the box up on the shelf. Give it the space to be felt. That's what it means to process it. Feel that shit. Stop putting it away like it's not going to have some effect on you later. It is. So if it's a few minutes, that's, you know, for us, it's meditation. Sometimes it's the gym. Sometimes it's yoga, whatever it is. Find some time in your day to just connect with yourself and figure out, what am I feeling and what do I need to deal with right now so that I can find a little bit of that inner happiness that I'm chasing in a box of Oreos or in an Xbox. Shut up, me. Stop talking to me.
I thought that was me. So, but one other thing that she mentioned too is taking accountability and owning your mistakes. I can't stress that enough. Like, that's such a huge piece to this. For years and years and years, I kind of had a victim mentality where none of this was my fault. It was always because I wasn't going to the right school. My mom didn't love me the right way. My dad was a jerk, or like all these other things that were outside of my control. And it wasn't until I actually sat down and was like, this is all my choice. This is all me. I will choose what's going to come next. I will choose how I'm going to take on these things, how I'm going to choose how to feel. But taking accountability and owning your own mistakes, and it's not easy. I get it. To say I was wrong, I did something inappropriate, I did something bad, nobody wants to say that. But if you don't actually go in and take a look at those things, you're never going to change. You're never going to be able to pick the next thing if you can't say you're wrong about something else. So I can't stress enough how important that is. It's you. Own that shit and walk and just walk. You got to own it.
I love the analogy of if somebody dumps garbage on your lawn, it's not your fault that it's there, but it's your responsibility to clean it up. If you look at all of your life's problems that way, it's a lot more manageable rather than yelling at whoever the bastard was that put this on my lawn. That's not cleaning the shit up. Getting out there and cleaning the shit up, that's what cleans the shit up.
Yeah. I can still yell at the person.
Oh, you can still yell
while
at them all
I'm
your
cleaning
life.
It up. Yeah. I'm going to do that.
But it is ultimately your responsibility to get the broom, get the rake, and get to work.
Yes. And I will take a few minutes to consider whether or not it was my neighbor, and I will throw it back on his yard if it was him.
It's totally your neighbor. All right, well, that's going to do it for this week. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. And thank you to our guest, Andrea Valelli. Again, links to her in the show notes for this episode. And if you've gotten any value out of this episode, please do share this with somebody who needs to hear this message. It can really go a long way in helping us help as many people as possible. Thank you again for your support and for listening. We'll be back next week at thefitmess.com.
See you, everyone.
We know this podcast is amazing and doesn't seem to lack anything, but we need a legal disclaimer. Prior to implementing anything discussed in this podcast, it is your responsibility to conduct your own research and consult your physician. You should assume that Jeremy and Zach don't know what they're talking about, and they're not liable for any physical or emotional issues that occur directly or indirectly from listening to this podcast.